They were overjoyed at seeing the star. Have you ever heard someone joke, "I can't unsee that"? It's usually meant lightly, but with a bit of seriousness, "I wish I didn't see what I saw." Speaking with a little bit more weight, C.S. Lewis remarked how people would often say to him, "I wish I could have a memory like yours." But then he would say, "Would you really want to remember everything that you read, everything that you heard?" What he's saying is there is responsibility that comes with remembering. And so it is we have the Magi here on their journey who are drawn by the star, which meant they were seeking a new ruler and a new order. And they saw that. They saw him. And they could not unsee what they saw, and that changed them forever. They persisted as Gentiles, outsiders. That's what we celebrate today. But we also see that often insiders don't want to see Jesus, even though he's right there before them. But even the Gentiles, as they were coming for a while, they longed to go back home before they got there, not sure if they were doing the right thing. But instead, we'll see, they chose a better death. This anticipates the end of T.S. Lewis's poem, The Journey of the Magi. Some of you saw this, I sent it out this week, but more than one person has said, "You know, I think I need to read that poem again." But his poem rings true, and even though he embellishes the story, T.S. Eliot is right because he understands the way of all conversion. So yes, we celebrate today the conversion of the Gentiles, but also our own conversion. For this is a day to own that conversion anew, or in some ways, perhaps, even for the first time. So as we heard, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." So they were looking for a new ruler, right? But on the way, the journey was hard, no doubt. See, we take this for granted. Yes, they probably had a caravan and camels. But journeys like this in the ancient Near East were perilous. Survival was not guaranteed. And so it is our own journey. Likewise, in a fallen world, can be perilous at a time as we seek to follow Christ, the way of the cross. But here, as T.S. Eliot imagines, and the camels galled, sore-footed, refractory, lying down in the melting snow, there were times we regretted the summer palaces on slopes, the terraces, and the silken girls bringing sherbet. They weren't so sure they should have left those things behind. But then the hardness of the way, the camel men cursing and grumbling and running away and wanting their liquor and women, and the night fires going out, and the lack of shelters, and the cities hostile, and the towns unfriendly, and the villages dirty, and charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. And indeed, a hard time we all have of it as we follow in the way. So the question for you and me is, will we persist? Will we persist in the way? Because even the Magi, as T.S. Eliot imagines, had their doubts. At the end, we preferred to travel all night, sleeping in snatches, right? The journey was just too hard. Just get us there. But with the voices singing in our ears saying that this was all a folly. And isn't the cross a folly the very same words that Paul used to describe the way of Christ? The Gentiles, you'd follow the way of the cross, a king who died? It doesn't make any worldly sense. And sometimes we have our own doubts, do we not? I think of myself in my early 20s as I considered coming to Christ. I was drawn, as we all are, by the truth of God's word, by represented here in the brightness of a star. But then as I realized that this might mean I will have to change that if I finally, as I began to read scripture and wonder if I should give my life to Christ, right, I would have a new ruler. That would mean I would need to give up those gods I clutched so closely. And I wasn't so sure I wanted to continue on the way. And so it is for many who are insiders, right? And here we hear of Herod, who did not want a new ruler because that would mean his ways would be upended. The challenge to each of us, which anticipates the religious leaders who would have the same response throughout the Gospels. But what about you and me, even now? Father Thomas Hopko, a theologian from St. Vladimir's Orthodox Seminary, talks about Theophan the Recluse. He was a monk. He resigned his bishopric to spend his life in prayer, but many people would write him letters and he would respond. Very holy man. And one woman said, why is it that so often I see people, the more they go to church, the worse they become? She gave examples. They're the ones who kiss all the icons, who light all the candles. But as they do this year to year, they become more judgmental. They gossip more. They become darker than they were before. And the simple answer of Theophan was, they don't really want to see. So the question is, will you and I persist all the way? Do you want to see Christ? Because if you do, yes, he will change you thoroughly. But the Magi, of course, we see they did see him. They persisted. And they were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave up what was of the world at his feet, right? And so this starts to bring us to the climax of Eliot's poem. And I would do it again through the eyes of one of the Magi. But set down, this. We were led all that way for birth or death. There was a birth, certainly. We had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but I had thought they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. For this, whenever you take a new ruler over yourself, there's a dying to self. So there's a death on the way, but then a new death at accepting new life from outside. And so their job was done, but they were willing to keep on listening to the voice of God. We know they accepted this new ruler because even though they told Herod they would go back to him, they heard a new voice in a dream that said, go back by another way. And so by another way, they returned to their home and they were never the same, which became the pattern of their lives, no doubt. Always doing things by another way. And so the poem concludes. We return to our palaces, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation with an alien people clutching their gods. I should be glad of another death. So yes, they went home, but they were no longer at home. And so it is for you and me when we see Christ. You can't unsee him, and he will change you so you cannot go back, and this world will no longer be your home. And what does this look like? If we are glad of another death, we can look at it in multiple ways. It may mean being ready for another pilgrimage, which might be the death of you, or be ready for the Christian life, which is a constant cross, or be ready for the true death of this end of this life, because this world is no longer your home. It's all one and the same when it comes to true conversion. I like the way St. Gregory of Nyssa spoke about this, writing in the 4th century. Salvation, he said, reaches its full term and is not stillborn when, having been conceived by the fear of God, the soul's own birth pangs bring it to the light of day. And so when we see birth, we see death together if it will reach its maturity. And so he begins to go deeper. Because if what the apostle calls the form of Christ is not been produced in us, we abort ourselves. For the man of God must reach maturity. And how does this happen but when we die to the world? So Gregory continues. Now, if the meaning of a timely birth is clear, so also is the meaning of a timely death. For St. Paul, every moment was a time to die. As he proclaims in his letters, I swear by the pride I take in you that I face death every day. Elsewhere he says, for your sake we are put to death daily, and we felt like men condemned to death. And so Paul himself was a religious leader with all the comforts and status that brought him. But that's what he gave up when he said, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as garbage in order that I may gain Christ. We die to this world because we've received a greater life. And so that's why Paul says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so the principle is this. The Magi converts, St. Paul, are willing to die because they have seen that greater life. And they continue in this world dying to it only to the extent that they can bring that new life to others. But when our faith doesn't mature, you know, when the judgmentalism, the legalism, when that remains, then our hypocrisy is more evident. And we keep people from coming to the light. But I think of Father Emmaus. He was one who died to this world. My son Isaac met him in Mount Athos this past year. And he had been a football star and in finance had gained more money than he could spend. He prided himself on being able to bring his friends to the best dinners until he spent just a few days on Mount Athos with the monks. When he returned to his old life, it no longer tasted. He had no more joy from all that finery. And that's why he went back to Mount Athos to stay. Your calling or mine may not be to be a monk, but think of Scott Harrison then, who was a nightclub promoter. And he had Rolex, constant parties and travel, everything that this fast life in New York City could give him, until he decided, I'll go on a boat for a short-term mission, medical mission. He went to Liberia, and that's where he saw Christ in the poor. He came back, and that pilgrimage, that was where he died to the world. He could no longer continue in that old life, and many pilgrimages followed as he started his own charity, Charity Water, where 100% of the proceeds now go to giving water in rural villages. So how do we change? How do we die to the world more thoroughly? Even C.S. Lewis, who had such a great intellect, realizes that it can be gradual for us. He said, in relation to our want of heaven and abandoning the earthly rewards that we once ran after, he said, it may not happen in a day, but poetry replaces grammar, gospel replaces law, longing transforms obedience as gradually as the tide lifts a grounded ship. But the imperative is to let that tide lift you. And that's what we're after on this day, especially as we approach Christ at the altar, as we become less envious, we gossip less, less judgmental, more loving, so that faith, hope, and charity are seen in us, so that Christ will be seen in you and me. And as Gregory said, I put to death and I shall give life, God says, teaching us that death to sin and life in the Spirit is his gift, and promising that whatever he puts to death, he will restore to life again. This is the gospel. This is what the Magi received. May we receive it even more as we receive the fullness of Christ our Lord. It's good to gather once again as members of the body of Christ, and we gather downstairs in fellowship for breakfast after Mass in our undercroft. If you're visiting with us, please join us. We'd love to get to know you better. And also, if you have any questions about what we're bringing forward through the gift of Benedict XVI,
bringing gifts of our patrimony to be shared with the broader church. We'd love to talk more about that as well. Just briefly, we have, as promised, through our extensive prayers, Epiphany water in the baptismal font in bottles, in which so you can take some home to bless your homes, and instructions for the house blessing in the back, along with blessed chalk. I wish I had excerpts of that prayer to share with you. The exorcism of the water, casting out the enemy and all his wiles, and in many different ways, in the name of the Trinity. It's a very powerful prayer. And so that's all part of that water. That becomes a visible prayer. Those prayers actuated as it's sprinkled in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So as heads of your households, you have authority to bless your home in this way. So let's take advantage of that as we are set apart, right, as God's particular people. We've seen our Lord today. We cannot unsee him. May he be seen in us as we bring his gospel out into the world.